AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt, Eric here today. Good to be with you here on a cool day, 10 degrees. It feels actually a little cooler than that. How are you today, Eric?
I'm doing well.
I never got a chance to ask you. Did you get out this weekend at all to any of the Super Bowl stuff that was in town?
Yeah, I went up to the cities. It was pretty cool.
What'd you do? Anything particular?
We saw that like Super Bowl experience, I think it was called.
In the convention
like
center?
Yeah, that was cool.
You know, they had at the History Center, was it 2 years ago? They had a big Super Bowl football experience there. And that's why we kind of shied away from it. And it, not that it doesn't look like it was good. And they clearly had a ton of NFL celebrities that were at the NFL experience at the convention center. But, you know, they had, I mean, you saw the trophy. They had the trophy there at the History Center. They had some of the rings there. They had, you know, some of the interactive exhibits that you could work with. I didn't really, that was one thing I was like, okay, would this really be something much more spectacular than that? I mean, you get those people that, you know, I'm here because my team has won some things and this is great and this is where I'm going to go. Yeah, that sort of thing. But, you know, for me, yeah, okay. You know, I got other things. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff going on in town, but, you know, you hadn't done this. What was the coolest thing you saw there?
You know, just seeing the trophies, and then there's like a kind of an IMAX thing.
Yeah.
Could have been anything. It didn't have to be football, but it was pretty cool.
The NFL films guys do such a great job. Those are some phenomenal documentaries, actually. Did they have one of my favorite things I have ever seen? The size of a leg of one of the linemen. I think it was from the Baltimore Ravens. Did they have that where they had the display like you could stand next to him and what his leg looked like? They did a cast of his leg.
I didn't see anything with the legs, but yeah, they had like scale models of the football players.
Oh my God.
You think you understand large people? I mean, I'm like 6'4", 230, but I have no concept of people that large.
I am 6 foot, I'm 260, and that guy, I mean, that leg alone was probably 2/3 of me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's my wife was trying to understand the size of Gronkowski, and it's like, well, Gronk is huge. I mean, he's just a massive human being. And, you know, it's just, yeah, that's the nature of it. I remember when players could be small. I remember they were like whippets. Not anymore. No sports like that. Well, good to be with you today. Speaking of the Super Bowl, I want to ask, is the U.S. Bank Stadium and the Metropolitan Sports Commission, are you guys going to prosecute the guys that stole the seats out of the Super Bowl? I don't know. Multiple people ripped apart Viking seats. Now, this is not the crime of brainiacs, okay? Because let's just take a quick second here. You rip out your seat. How would they figure out who was sitting there? Oh, that's right. Who did we sell the ticket to? Okay. Hey, buddy, we want our seat back. You're going to go after these clowns, aren't you? Because if you don't, you do realize every time we host a major event, if, say, the World Series comes back to Minnesota at some point and the road team wins here for the championship on game, you know, 5 or 6 or whatever, they're going to rip out seats and take them away. Granted, that's Target Field, but still, it's the same concept. If you don't set the standard here, you host the NCAA basketball championships in U.S. Bank Stadium. You host that there. You do realize that whoever wins that, they're going to cut down the nets and then rip out some of the seats. You do realize this. That unless you not only make an example out of these people, but make sure your example is so stringent that no one even thinks about doing this again, that you're only asking for trouble in the future. I mean, this is one of the reasons why they still have trouble with Iowa fan. When Iowa came up in the old Metrodome and they tore down the goalposts and, you know, these knuckleheads were trying to march them out of the stadium. I don't know, you know, good luck with that, brainiacs. But, you know, ever since then, there's been this, you know, heightened police presence whenever Iowa comes into town because you basically embolden these people and you did not go after them as you should have. And no, this idea of, well, drunken revelry is just okay. No, it's vandalism. And just because it's white guys doing it doesn't mean you should let it go, okay? I guarantee you if it was an African-American man ripping apart those seats and hauling them out, You would be there. There would be, how dare he? No, I'm going to be consistent. Anyone that does this should be prosecuted, including wealthy white Pennsylvania Eagles fan who flew here. It should not exactly be a mystery of the ages on who took the seat the guy was sitting in. You need to go do your job and kind of hammer down on that. 952-946-6205. It is caucus day here in Minnesota. I highly, highly encourage you to participate in this tonight. This is one of the great elements we had. If you didn't hear the interview we had with Steve Simon, Secretary of State, yesterday, we talked about the fact that this is, it's a way for you to get to know neighbors. You get to do the straw poll on the governor candidates. You get to as well, decide issues you would like the party to address. I'll get back to that in a second because the Republicans are going cray-cray. And then as well, you might, if you have interest in being a representative, a delegate from your area, you can do that. And you can they need people to do that. So, and that's, by the way, that's how you get involved in the party. And if you eventually want to go into one of these presidential conventions, that's how you kind of take that first step there. So it's a great opportunity for you to get involved with your community, to find out more information about where you need to caucus, because it will tell you exactly where you need to be at. You go to mnvotes.org. That's mnvotes.org. That's the Secretary of State page. You just enter in your address. It will tell you for your address if you're Republican, you want to go here. If you're Democrat, you want to go here. And this is really kind of a call. I mean, I know that you guys, oh, liberal Matt McNeil, progressive, the aggressive progressive. No, if you're a Republican, go. This is important. This is absolutely important, and you should take time for it. It is a really unique element of our political system. And the caucus, I think, it gets beats around. There's some elements of it I don't like. I don't think it necessarily gives, considering the nature of it being only at 7 o'clock in the evening, it can kind of, there are a lot of people that might not be able to make it, especially parents with kids that are running around in 15 different directions. Tell me about it. All right, but this is an important thing. So, there are some elements of it, can take away. But I think one of the most important elements of the caucus is that this is really the meat and potatoes of your political system. And this is how you get your voice heard at the upper echelon of your political party, good or bad. This is how you do it. And so what I want you to do is go. It's 6:30. They open the doors. 7 o'clock, they start the straw poll for the governor's races. You can stay. You can vote in the governor's race and leave. But you can also be part of the discussion within these groups. Last time I had a caucus night, we had, I think, about 25 people in my caucus area alone, which is a relatively small area. But, I mean, still, it was a great turnout. I hope everyone does turn out and enjoy tonight. And all my best out there to all the candidates on the DFL side for governor out there. 952-946-6205. By the way, once again, I do want to make sure I mention mnvotes.org, mnvotes.org. One person who probably will not be listed tonight, at least on the Republican caucuses, is possibly Tim Pawlenty. Oh, that's right. He's quit his lobbying gig, his sweet, sweet, sweet lobbying cash. He's quit that, and apparently he's thinking about running for governor. Now, Tim, and I'll talk a little bit with Brianna about this. Tim, I don't need to be the rain cloud on your sunny day, but you do realize you basically destroyed the state's budget the last time you were governor. And everyone remember this, he took the entire education budget, just chucked it into a future year, said, schools, good luck, we're not going to give you your money, and then said, we balanced the budget. Yeah, he did that. One of the most reckless things, that is one of the most reckless things I have ever seen anyone do with a budget. And that really hurt the schools of the state. I mean, really hurt the schools. On another level, he never cut taxes. What he did is he cut the state's responsibility to municipalities and counties as far as funding goes, and then acted like, see, I cut the budget. No, he basically just shifted the budget from the state level down to the municipal, the city, and the county level. And that's why your property taxes under Tim Pawlenty went up pretty dramatically. So he raised your taxes. Then there's the comments of that when you're a Republican president's in office, Tim Pawlenty said, how can you support the troops if you don't support the president? Then we had a Democratic president in office, and he said, I never said that, which we had tape. And then basically, I can only imagine now he's revisited this, and yeah, you have to support Donald Trump. There's that. How about the fact that he blacklisted Republicans on the transportation bill veto override because they didn't do what I said, and I'm God. I mean, that was Tim Pawlenty. Remember that? I remember that. And, of course, he's been working as a lobbyist for ever since he left office, basically. He's been. You think that he's going to be able to shut down that lobbying pipeline if he becomes the governor? Or do you think that his lobbying firm will basically be running the state? Good luck, Tim. Glad to have you in the race. I still think Johnson's probably going to pull that one out. I would make an argument there. Mike is in Columbia Heights. Let's bring him on in. Hi, Mike.
Hi, T-Paw. Isn't he the guy that in the 1999 Republican convention took a $10,000 bribe from Elon Musk and didn't claim it on his taxes, and then when he got caught, he claimed it on his taxes, and he said it was a consular fee or something, and at the same time, his wife was a sitting judge. Isn't that the same guy?
I don't remember the Elon Musk thing.
You look it up.
All right.
Pat, whatever his name is on CCO, he tried to make a big deal out of it, but it got blown away. Another thing, when he was in office, they devalued the value of my house, and they kept the taxes the same.
Exactly.
So then when my property values went back up again, they jacked my taxes up again. That was Teapot and the Republican Party. Come on, people, let's get behind the ball of the Minnesota citizens.
Well, and
hey, thanks, man.
No problem, Mike. Thank you very much. No, what he did with the taxes was exactly that. There was money promised, and this is exactly the same thing he did with the schools when he shifted their money into the future fiscal cycle. There's money that that's been promised to, whether it's school districts or police departments or fire departments, first responders. Tim Pawlenty screwed over the first responders of this state. Absolutely. He basically said, remember that money we were going to give you? We're not going to give it to you anymore. And then he looked in the camera and said, I cut the budget. Well, no. These municipalities, these police departments, these fire departments, these schools, these hospitals, these counties, they still needed the money that had been promised. They were working on a regular budget. And so they had to jack up local taxes to offset that. And, of course, Tim Pawlenty said, well, I didn't raise those taxes. That was on them. They could have cut all the police out of your police department and then problem solved. That was his response, basically. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it still was his response. That is Tim Pawlenty. If you are, do not get duped. Already, I'm going to let you know, there's already about 800,000 Republicans who would automatically vote for Tim Pawlenty in a heartbeat. This, if he does become the governor candidate, this means we have to pants this clown. And if you're the DFL, stop about nuance. Just go with the meat and potatoes. He offset the budget by throwing the education budget into the next fiscal cycle and then said he balanced the budget. You want to trust Johnny Lobbyist with the state government budget from here on out? We've already learned our lesson once. We should not trust him again. 952-946-6205. Oh, it's going to be an interesting night in the Republican caucuses. We'll take a break. When we come on back, I'll share two disturbing stories from Bluestem Prairie. And then, of course, Brianna Biersbach from MinnPost joins us. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Adam Jennings, and I approve this message. I'm seeking the Democratic endorsement in the 3rd Congressional District because today, more than ever, we need progressive leadership that is unafraid to stand up and fight for the values that make us proud to be Democrats. Healthcare is a right, and that's why I support Medicare for All. As a former member of AFSCME and the United Auto Workers, I know that when people are paid fairly and treated with respect, they become the most productive workforce in the world. That's why I support a federally mandated $15 an hour minimum wage. As a father, I know that our public schools are the key to our future. That's why I oppose taxpayer dollars being diverted from our public schools for things like vouchers and charter schools. Growing up, I watched my family struggle with the loss of a job and bankruptcy. I worked full-time in high school to help make ends meet. I paid my way through college and joined the Minnesota Army National Guard after 9/11. I swore an oath to defend the Constitution, and that oath compelled me to run for Congress. If you want to change from business as usual, and you want to take back your party, then caucus with us on February 6th and send a real progressive voice to Congress.
Paid for by Adam Jennings for Congress.
People love the warmth, charm, and great food at Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal. Tonight, try their Vittles, Vino, and Beer, a full slab of baby back ribs grilled over mesquite charcoal, juicy jerk chicken with Caribbean beans and rice, grilled plank salmon, and their famous shrimp and grits. Try a Milton's ribeye or the portobello mushroom and end your night with carrot cake, bananas foster, or rum cake. The perfect meal for a date or a casual get-together, that's Vittles, Vino, and Beer at Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Vladimir von Surikov, the director and president of the Museum of Russian Art, which hosts the finest collection of Russian art in North America, as well as an award-winning gift shop, Izba. Unique gifts, artworks, and artisan-made products are sourced from artists and jewelers who use traditional Russian materials to create stunning pieces for purchase. Izba Gift Shop is on Facebook and Instagram. Our museum is at tmora.org. Visit Izba Gift Shop for that special gift you will cherish.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metza inviting you to the 21st annual Holiday on Ice Cubes, a benefit for the Northeast Minneapolis Seniors Food Shelf. It features 15 great musicians and will be at Moe's Restaurant in Mounds View at 2400 County Road Highway 10 on Sunday, February 18th from 2 to 6 p.m. Bring a non-perishable food item and or a cash donation and enjoy over 15 musicians and a lovely afternoon of music for a good cause.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's going to be an interesting night, apparently, at some of these Republican caucuses. We talked a little bit before about Cindy Pugh and Dave Cena and who's the woman out of Stillwater, the Republican that's running out of there, over there, the incumbent. We talked about how they're basically getting in bed with these anti-Muslim bigots who basically want to, you know, they were warning of if Muslims show up to your caucus, you need to run them out of there. I mean, that was kind of the mentality. We can't allow Muslims into our caucuses. And the only reason they're upset about this is apparently, as many religious denominations state, they're doing caucus training to explain what the caucus is and how you participate. Not necessarily that you had to go to a Republican caucus, that just you can choose and you can go to the caucus that you want. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But that terrified those Republicans. Well, Dave apparently, his wife is, it seems as if, might be working under the same mindset. Candy Cena, S-I-N-A, wife of CD4 Republican chair Dave Cena, and a candidate for state senate, urged Republican caucus goers to adopt anti-Muslim resolutions. Screenshots show Senate District 42 is represented by Jason Isaacson, the DFL in Shoreview, who beat Ms. Cena by 54% to 45% in 46. Ms. Cena's committee remains active, according to records. The screenshot is from a Minnesota gun rights advocate and Republican activist, Brian Strasser. So now I want to give quickly Brian Strasser credit for putting this out so people can see this. But this is from Candy Cena, and this I'm reading this off of Blue Stem Prairie. To all my Republican friends who want to ensure that we preserve the freedoms given to us by our U.S. Constitution. By the way, I want you to just think about that opening line for 2 seconds as I read the rest of this. Preserve the freedoms given to us by our U.S. Constitution. Okay. I urge you all to attend and participate your precinct caucus tonight, February 6th, and also introduce the following resolution. Be resolved that all persons and groups associated with the Minnesota GOP must denounce Sharia law, swear to support and defend the United States Constitution, and prohibit the use of the Quran in taking this oath. That's right. She feels as if representing the U.S. Constitution, including freedom of religion, is to deny anyone from being able to take an oath on a Quran, even if they're Muslim. That is what she wants to put out there. That if you want to take an oath for office and you're Muslim, you have to do it on a Bible. Probably one of those evangelical Bibles, too, that talks about how guns are good. And that how you got to give your money to all the rich people because that's what Jesus wants. Wealthy, wealthy. I'm, yeah. And she's making this. She is telling people at your caucuses tonight. Can people go in? Can you use a phone and tape in a caucus? I know the state law says that if you attend a caucus, that you generally have to believe with the political ideals of the party that's hosting the caucus. That being said, I would love to see what's going to go on. If this is the stuff you're announcing publicly, I can't wait to hear what the heck you guys are going to be introducing when the doors are closed. My God. Just the unbelievable stupidity of Candy Cena is remarkable. As you attend, I'm going to represent the U.S. Constitution by basically saying some religions are not welcome in the United States. Okay. Brian Strasser, who, by the way, is the Republican activist and a gun right activist. I'm so tired of this from activists and others in my party who don't understand how this hurts us across the state. This resolution is wrong, and I'll do everything I can to stop it. Good for you. Good for you. I don't agree with, probably won't agree with you on many things, but you know, at least there's still some signs, there's some semblance of rationality and normalcy within the Republican Party. Of course, Mrs. Cena tweeted about the infamous infiltration cut-and-paste statement on Monday, January 29th, linking the now-deleted Facebook post to her campaign Facebook page about Muslim Activity Society. American Society has been holding training sessions for caucus night the last few months in mosques. On top of that, let's head to Coon Rapids Republican activist. No, not Randy in Coon Rapids. Jeff Bauman. A Senate District 36 Republican activist and donor is circulating a resolution for Tuesday night's precinct caucuses that would resolve that no Islamic leader, religious or otherwise, shall ever be allowed to deliver the invocation of any Republican convention or event, that affirmative and ongoing actions be taken to minimize and eliminate the influence of Islam within the Minnesota Republican Party or its subunits. Wow. The legislation, policies, and education programs be implemented to increase awareness of these facts so as to ever more minimize and eliminate the influence of Islam within Minnesota, including Minnesota schools. Wow. The document is accessible. I'll put links up to this stuff a little bit later on. The document is accessible online with two other resolutions in the caucus. Bauman's South Sudan cellular photo public shared with his disclaimer. This content is copyright of Jeffrey Bauman. All of its publicity shared files may be found at this location. So once again, Jeff Bauman is the individual there. We suspect the Republican Party chair, Jennifer Carnahan, who has welcomed all eligible Minnesota voters who share conservative values to caucus with the Republicans, will not be pleased. In 2016 interview, legislator rebuked for speaking for at an event described as anti-Muslim. The controversy surrounds the event's main presenter, Jeffrey Bauman. The Coon Rapids man talked for an hour about growing up in Saudi Arabia and the practices of Islam. Critics say he doesn't give him the right to speak as an expert, especially because he's made anti-Islam comments in the past. Asked if he considered himself anti-Islam, Bauman says he presents facts and that he challenges anyone to point out errors. Okay. You're anti-American by basically putting out religious pledges and purity pledges in your political party's doctrine. That's a fact. Bauman has spoken publicly against building mosques in Minnesota, calling it treason and aiding the enemy. This is your Republican Party today. I would love to get video footage of inside these Republican caucuses. I would love it. Because I can tell you what, if this is what we're hearing is going on outside, it's going to be a loony bin in there. I mean, it is going to be just the Klan and bigots and anti-Islamophobia and Make America Great Again hats. And this could be brilliant. Oh, my God. This is... I'm going to tell you what, if all of a sudden all these, I know the Republican Party doesn't want to acknowledge this, but if all of a sudden 60, 70% of your caucus sites put forward anti-Islamic bills and verbiage, well, you've got a big problem in your party. Well, you already do have a big problem in your party. Gary is in Minneapolis. Let's get him in here before we get Brianna. Welcome in, Gary.
Hey, Well, Matt, before I started talking about what I called about, what you're talking about, that Bachman's talking to God, you think should be talking about end times because of Stormy Daniels right now and the whole authoritarian Bible-banging right wing. But what I called about is now our King Trump is, if we don't applaud and praise King Trump and his fellow authoritarians, and there's a policy of enriching himself and his fellow oligarchs, we are the treasonous ones. And, of course, we heard that before. Remember Bush? You're not with, if you're not with me going into Iraq in particular, you're with the terrorists. Same kind of BS they've had for years.
Thanks, Gary. Gary getting it off of his chest this afternoon. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. When we do return, Brianna Biersbach from MinnPost will join us, and we will talk a little bit about the caucus tonight and where things stand as we get ready for the Minnesota legislature. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You got a favorite candidate you're supporting for governor? Let us know about it. Call AM 950 now or anytime before caucuses on Tuesday and leave us a voicemail telling us who you are supporting and why. You know the number, 952-946-6205. Or perhaps you're passionate about an issue or a legislative candidate. Here's your chance to say it on the radio. Call 952-946-6205 now and then listen to hear your shout out played on the Mike McEntee Show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m.
I'm Jeff Erdman, and I'm running for the DFL endorsement for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District to unseat Jason Lewis and provide people a real, working-class voice in Washington. I grew up in a union home in Lewiston, Minnesota. My dad worked in a flour mill, and my mom provided daycare. My wife Ruth and I have raised 3 kids in Dakota County. I've been an American government teacher and head football coach for 28 years, with the last 18 years being at Rosemont High School. Ruth works as a speech therapist in schools. We've dedicated our lives to local families, and now I'm running to serve them. Here's what I believe. Healthcare is a human right. I'm the only candidate pushing for a single-payer Medicare-for-all system. I'm also the only candidate who opposes drilling, and I have aggressive plans for localizing green jobs and creating wealth in our local economies. It's time for real political reform to take money out of politics. Learn more and see how to caucus February 6th at erdmanforcongress.com. I'm Jeff Erdman, and it's time for change.
Paid for by Urban for Congress.
Hi, Matt McNeil for my favorite Toyota, the Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. It's the most amazing vehicle I've ever owned. It's so good, after a decade of driving one, I just bought my second one. Roomy, seats the entire family and their friends and the dog. The safety features, the entertainment system, the fuel economy. Siennas are fantastic vehicles. I will likely own a Sienna as long as I'm driving. See for yourself by test driving the ultimate family vehicle, the Sienna, at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 8. Tonight, some light snow with a low around 1. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 15. And Thursday, cloudy with a high around 15. The Downtowner is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. They have daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meals, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. They have gift certificates available, too. The Downtowner is located at 253 West 7th Street in downtown St. Paul. More at downtownerwoodfire.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by Todd Colin. That's right, you can sponsor the station if you'd like. 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. Todd Colin is, of course, with the band Just Folk, and they want to promote their song, Coma, tonight. You can find a link to that song on the Facebook and the Twitter page. Go check that out, and thank you very much. Once again, if you'd like more information on how you can sponsor it, the station here, by all means, 952-946-8885. Brianna Biersbach is the exceptional writer for MinnPost. She covers state politics, and she is kind enough to join us here on Caucus Day in Minnesota. Hi, Brianna.
Hey, how are you?
All righty. Good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a while. It's nice to have you back.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's start with the big one here. Obviously, you have a great story in MinnPost, why Minnesota's caucuses are so important this year. Well, I'll let you go from there. Why are the caucuses in Minnesota so important this year?
Well, you know, midterm elections are generally not as exciting as the presidential caucus. Obviously, you look at 2 years ago in 2016, there were massive turnout numbers. People, you know, driving around the block trying to get in line and just vote and cast their ballot. It's not going to be like that this year, but 2018 is a pretty important year in terms of Minnesota races. We have now not one, but two U.S. Senate races on the ballot, an open seat for the governor's office, all eight constitutional offices or congressional seats, as well as three other constitutional offices and the Minnesota House. So there's a lot of races on the ballot. And tonight at caucus, people will be able to start looking at all of those, in particular the open governor's race. That's really where the caucuses are going to be important. Tonight, people can go to caucus and be elected as a delegate, and delegates will eventually go on to the state convention this summer, potentially, and be able to cast a ballot in favor of their preferred candidate for governor in both parties. You can also, you know, become part of the party leadership. You can set the party platforms, and you can also cast your vote tonight for your preferred candidate. There's going to be a gubernatorial preference poll. Both the Republicans and Democratic Party are going to conduct. So by the end of the night, we'll have a sense of who might be ahead in those races at this point.
You brought up the straw polls there. It is really one of the things which is interesting is, when you have a primary, the difference between a primary caucus, generally the primary is voted all day. This is really what you get is the a lot of the real active and engaged and energized political people showing up for these caucuses. You know, and the reality is caucuses generally don't match up with primaries on a lot of times. You know, is this are we expecting anything? You know, obviously the Democratic field is pretty heavy duty. The Republican field, it looks like Tim Pawlenty is probably going to jump in on that race. I mean, what can we expect from that straw poll, do you think?
You know, I think really the straw poll is more of a preview of the convention, the endorsing conventions, that it is the primary. I think even endorsing conventions, the people who won the straw polls don't necessarily get endorsed. You look back at 2010, I think the straw poll winner was R.T. Ryback, former Minneapolis mayor. And on the Republican side, it was Marty Seifert. And neither of those two individuals got the DFL endorsement. And obviously the person who got the DFL endorsement, Margaret Anderson Kellerer, on the Democratic side, didn't win the primary. So there's a lot of steps to go. I think it really shows, like you said, where the hardcore activists are at this point, which does tell you at least something. You know, those are the activists who are really going to play a prominent role, and the people who show up to caucus are going to play a prominent role in what happens at the endorsing convention. And if the person who's ahead, you know, depending on how far they are ahead, maintains that lead into the June conventions, there'll be a strong potential candidate for the endorsement. Now, you look at the Democratic side, it seems less and less likely that there is going to be a competitive primary. Attorney General Lori Swanson recently said she's not running. Now, she would have been, for governor, she would have been someone who would have gone right to a primary. If she doesn't do that, it puts more pressure, I think, on the Democratic side to really secure and lock in that DFL nomination, and maybe that helps clear the field a little bit more. So I think there is a little bit more pressure this time around.
Yeah, because on the Democrat side, Walz, Rebecca Otto, Paul Thiessen, Chris Coleman, Aaron Murphy, and Tia Liebling all on the ballot there. And once again, as you said, with Lori Swanson deciding to stay in the AG race again, it really is going to be interesting to see how those candidates come through, because you're right, this does give a very good litmus test for the base core of the party, the most fervent supporters of either the Democrats or the Republicans, where are they leaning right now?
Absolutely. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens on the Republican side. I don't think anyone really knows what is going on in that side of the race. We have sort of now, we had three, now potentially two top candidates, the former party chair Keith Downey, and the 2014 gubernatorial candidate Jeff Johnson. But you also have this looming Pawlenty news. Is he going to run, like you had mentioned before? How does that affect the straw poll? I've already had several Republicans today message me saying they're not even going to go to caucus tonight because they're unexcited about the field. So I don't really know kind of where the results are going to shake out there. And I think that just underscores, you know, turnout and what who ultimately wins underscores sort of the uncertainty on the Republican side going into caucus night.
Well, and that's an interesting point you bring up about interest, because you know, wherever Pawlenty ends up, and I don't think by any means, I think Tim Pawlenty might think it's going to be a cakewalk for him. I don't think it's going to necessarily to get to the governor's office again for him. But the reality is, you mentioned at the beginning of your interview here, you got two Senate seats up here, and you have, is it Housley is one person, she's running for the Tina Smith seat. To my knowledge, is anyone declared against Klobuchar?
State Rep Jim Neuberger, who's a relative newcomer and relatively unknown. I think a lot of people don't necessarily see him as a serious challenge. He hasn't been incredibly active in campaigning or fundraising even. There's usually someone who challenges her just because it looks bad if that doesn't happen. But, not I think to date someone people consider a very serious challenge.
Just clarify this. You mean the Jim Neuberger who made the racist comment about the St. Cloud, the trains running up to the St. Cloud prisons, the House rep from up in that area? That's the guy that's running right now against, declared against Klobuchar?
Correct. That's the same person.
Wow. Okay. Good luck there. Can I make a call on that race now? I mean, I think I feel pretty confident on this one. The Minnesota House race is obviously the other major thing. I mean, we talk a little bit about some of the other politics, specifically with the Lieutenant Governor Fischbach seat. But looking at the House race here, it is an interesting race. You talk about the Republicans. I don't think it's necessarily the fact that there's no exciting candidates on the ticket there as well. I think the fact that in the age of Trump that, the promises that were made put forward by the president have not manifested themselves. As you've talked about, politics trickles down. It comes from the top sometimes. And in this case, I think that there's a lot of people that are hesitant. Where do you think this affects the Minnesota House interest? Because this is something where they're really desperate to maintain a good majority in that House.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think that the Republicans did manage to win and hang on to some seats that would have been more competitive in a presidential year in 2016 because of the surprising popularity of Trump in the state and the closeness of that election. If you look at the Star Tribune polling numbers, and some, at least 45% of Minnesotans still think Trump is doing a good job. So I don't really know exactly how strong his unfavorables are. I think it depends on what part of the state you're talking about. I'm really interested in, and tonight I'll be attending two suburban precinct caucuses, a Democratic and a Republican, because I think those are going to be some of the areas where the 2018 election is really going to be decided. Turnout in the metro and outstate, but also in the suburbs, in the suburban areas where Trump really did manage to get close to Hillary in terms of winning the state, and where a lot of those House races that Democrats needed to pick up and still need to pick up in the next election, where those are going to be decided. So I'm really going to be looking closely at that to see who's more motivated. Are more Democrats coming out than Republicans in these suburban districts? And the people who are showing up, what are they motivated by? Are they motivated by Trump, or are the Republicans motivated by something else? Are they staying home because of Trump? Mm-hmm. It'll be hard to tell because the people who aren't there. But we will get turnout numbers by the end of the night, which I think will be really telling as well. Who's more pumped up? Generally, Democrats participate in caucus a little bit more than Republicans. But if those numbers are way above the Republican turnout numbers for the night, I think that will kind of prove, at least among the activist base, something DFL Party Chair Ken Martin has been saying for a while, is that the base is fired up and people are coming out of the woodwork to participate. So that's going to be a really another telling thing, I think, to look at tonight.
I think you wait till Monday, the 23B race to replace Cornish. If Wagner pulls off the upset there, you're going to see warning signs fly across the state in the Republican Party, because if that seat is up for grabs, that's a real bad sign for the Republicans. There has been Bluestem Prairie had a little bit of a story here. Is there, from your sources, is there any concern at caucus night here that the Republicans, there are a few people that are calling for anti-Islam stances and initiatives to be put forward at the caucus night. Is there concern on the statewide level about this? Because it seems to be more than just one or two people, and it seems to be something where they're trying to coordinate this and organize it, where caucuses are introducing the anti-Islam language.
The party chairman woman, Jennifer Carnahan, hasn't spoken to that specifically. It is part of caucus night to offer motions to change the party platform. If there is some kind of organization going on that makes this broader than just a few districts, say, around the state, that would be something they would have to consider potentially. But I haven't heard that there is concern at the top level, but they haven't really spoken much about that either. And that's another thing that is more activist based, but I think people will be interested to see what kind of motions get brought up on both sides to change the party's platform and kind of what the values of both parties are going into the election.
Moving away from the caucus, and once again, Brianna Bierschbach from MinnPost joining us. Just really quick, if we can, we got the opening of the session coming up here, and obviously, once again, a funding bill has to be put through for the Congress, for the legislature. You have a huge question on who actually is going to be in charge. Are the Republicans going to be in charge, or is it going to be a joint session of Senate in this upcoming session here? What is your forecast right now? What are you looking at as we get ready for the legislative session to begin?
Well, today I was in the hearing to decide whether there'll be, you know, whether Michelle Fischbach will be able to serve as a state senator and lieutenant governor, which of course has implications for the Senate itself. If it is ruled that she can't do both jobs and has to be just lieutenant governor, that would create a temporary tie in the Senate. And if pending the special election results on Monday, if Democrats can hold that seat, could potentially create a tie and really make the session quite interesting. I mean, I think that's something everyone's going to be watching, both if there's potentially a tie during session and if the special election for her seat would be pretty hotly contested if that's something that comes up. That would complicate the whole session. You know, there's other issues I'm really interested in. You know, the federal tax bill is really creating a kind of a complicated mess in Minnesota right now on what we'll do in terms of conformity and how much that could cost. You know, that gives Dayton in his last year quite a bit of leverage with Republicans, something they didn't think he would necessarily have. They thought they got a lot of what they wanted in the last session. Now here's this big tax question that they have a lot at stake with, especially heading into an election year, how much people pay in their taxes. So I think they're not going to want it to look like there's a tax increase. Dayton is going to get some leverage out of that debate. So I'm really going to be watching that. And also the bonding debate is huge always in non-budget years. So that's going to be something that I think is going to consume a lot of legislators' time this year.
If Fischbach ends up being told, and it sounds like this in the weirdness of the state constitution, it sounds like that she basically says you're going to become the lieutenant governor, and they looked at this, I think it was in 73, they looked at this and said, you can be the lieutenant governor, you can be the senator, you can't be both. If it does go the way the governor is arguing, that the lieutenant governor has to be the lieutenant governor and no senator, has he given any idea of what his timeline for a special election for that district would be?
I believe it has to be really quickly, especially if we enter into the confines of the session. After session convenes, he really only has a certain number of days, I believe less than 30 or about 30, to call a special election. Because at that point, session's going, and in terms of representative democracy, it's important for people to be represented in the heat of the political year. So I think he will have to call one quite quickly, which is why this is within reason that, you know, this could all come up and be resolved in some way during the middle of this session.
Tell that to Wisconsin, where they're holding seats open. He refuses to call special elections in Wisconsin. That's kind of weird. But here, yeah, it does seem like we have at least a consensus that, yeah, we need to have representation for the people of the state. So thank goodness for that. I will mention, if people are interested in hearing more from you, it does look like MinnPost Social is going to be having an event coming up here on the 19th.
Yep, a preview of the session, LC's Bowling Center in Northeast Minneapolis, which can hold a lot of people, so sign up.
5:30 to 7. If you'd like more information, go to MinnPost.com, MinnPost.com. And by the way, subscribe. I subscribe. You should subscribe. It is the best news source in the state. I love MinnPost. I highly recommend you do subscribe to it. And once again, find out about Brianna on February 19th, a MinnPost Social that you can go and attend. Brianna Bierschbach, once again, the great writer from MinnPost. Thanks, Brianna. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We'll spotlight that one in a heartbeat. Brianna Bierschbach joining us. We'll take a break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526, 612-919-5526, or autotech.org.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Perol, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Bill McLeslie, owner of IP House in Minneapolis. We all know a working website is vital to business. But what happens when your website goes down? Many companies waste time just trying to find the right person to contact. That's why you need IP House. We offer reliable, secure hosting for websites. Our staff is watching 24 hours a day to make sure your website is always up. Discover our services at iphouse.com or call us 612-337-6337.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Downtowner is the restaurant of the week. Great place for breakfast, lunch, or dinner over in St. Paul. 253 West 7th Street in St. Paul. Plenty of free parking. Stop on by. Enjoy their great, fresh, wood-fired pizzas. Delicious. Once again, it's downtownerwoodfire.com, downtownerwoodfire.com. The Downtowner, it's the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Oh, why not? 952-946-6205. Randy is in Coon Rapids. Kind enough to join us today.
Good afternoon, Matt. We struck a point today. For the first time, Matt McNeil words coming full circle right around to bite him in the keister.
Oh, what did I do this time?
Matt McNeil and most of the liberal Democrats that I've listened to lately, but especially I'm going to emphasize more on you than them because I've listened to more of you lately. You hate Donald Trump and Republicans far more than you love this country.
No, actually, you're wrong. Actually, you're absolutely wrong. I love this country. That's why I hate Donald Trump. There's a difference. There's a huge difference. I love the United States of America, and my comments are about protecting elements of the Constitution, right to protest, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, freedom of the press. Those are the things I'm defending. When you stand by Donald Trump, you don't want people protesting. You want people called treasonous if they don't stand and applaud during the State of the Union address. You want basically the press to be able to only print stuff that you wanted to be printed. Trust me, we are on opposite sides. But my side, Randy in Coon Rapids, is I am pro-United States of America over Donald Trump. You hate Democrats more than you love your country, more love your religion, and more than you love your own well-being. And that is going to be the downfall of the Republican Party right there.
Matt, I don't hate you at all. I think,
you hate the concept of the Democrats.
I think we have a great time.
No, you and I, you hate the concept of the Democrats. And it's like Hillary Clinton, and there's something immediately that your blood boils. You're Pavlov's dog, man. They ring the bell, they just say Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, and you immediately like, I'm so angry. And you don't even know where that comes from anymore. And,
well,
and you
don't get that angry at that stuff.
Of course. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What? What did
you should go back and listen to some of the things that you've been saying about Donald Trump. You're talking about golden showers.
Okay. That's the Steele dossier. That's not me making. No, that's not
backed up by fact.
That's not me making that up. That's there. Okay. How about we go with this?
Randy?
Do you think it's treasonous that the Democrats did not stand and applaud Trump during the State of the Union address?
I don't think it's treasonous. I think it's extremely disrespectful.
So you think that Joe Wilson was it when Joe Wilson, the representative from South Carolina, stood up during Obama's State of the Union speech and screamed, "You lie," that was far worse than just sitting there and being quiet. Was that treasonous?
That was extremely disrespectful too.
Ah, wow. Look,
no,
he's coming around.
I never cared for him at all.
But you
still have respect for him because he was the president of the United States, and that carries a respect. No matter how you can feel about their issues, on one side or the other, you have to respect the fact if they're the president of the United States, and I hated everything that Obama did and stood for, but I still respected the fact that that man was the one representing the United States of America.
You have members of the Republican Party saying that Obama should be locked up because he's been critical of Trump overseas. That's treason right there. These are what your guy is doing. Forget about what I am saying, just the stuff that he's doing. For God's sakes, he had an affair with a porn star, paid her off. This is right after Barron was born. And then I don't know if you caught that little trick that they pulled when they released the supposed letter the day of the State of the Union address that said that she denied the whole thing. If you saw the interview with her later on that evening, she acknowledged that letter did not come from her. That was not her signature. Someone in the Trump administration likely put that letter forward to try to just give him cover so Melania wouldn't ditch him for the State of the Union address. You know, you're the one that keeps following this guy. He wants to get rid of destroy the environment. He's doing these boneheaded economic policies like the solar panels and the Trump tax bill. All these things that he's doing are actually detrimental to the country. But the thing which is the real scary part about Donald Trump is that he wants to change the core of the United States, Randy. He wants to change us to where we can't criticize him. We can't sit and not clap for him. That we have to stand. We have to clap. That we can't speak ill will of him. We can't have media that criticizes him fairly. This is what he's trying to change. And that is one of the most un-American things I've ever seen. He makes John Adams look like he was a reasonable guy when it came to this stuff, Randy. And here you are and looking at me and saying, well, how dare you hate him? Damn right I hate anything that attacks the United States of America. And at the core of this country is freedom of protest, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. Your own political party is getting ready to introduce a whole bunch of caucus initiatives where they basically saying Muslims not allowed. That's not the U.S. Constitution. That's not America. You will look at me and try to say, well, you hate Republicans. No, I hate what the Republicans are doing. And I'll stand by that every damn day of the week.
Well, I'm just listening to the words that have been coming out of your mouth the last few weeks and the hateful things that you've been saying and the way you've been saying them.
Factual things,
when you're
you mean.
Talking about Donald Trump having affairs, when you're talking about Donald Trump's golden showers,
that's what happened.
There is zero fact allegedly. Behind any of the stuff that you're speaking.
Well, no. The Steele dossier. No, the Steele dossier actually points to a lot of that being the truth. And I don't know if you paid attention to the Nunez memo that was released. The Nunez memo actually backs up the Steele dossier quite a bit. So this is
Randy.
No, it wasn't. That was informed, by the way, and it started as actually opposition research. Research for the Republicans. That's the problem that you have. It started with the Republicans. Now, here's the problem that you have, Randy. And Randy, I got to kind of let you go. And the reason why is I'm at the end of the show. You not liking what I'm saying doesn't mean it's not true. And look what you're trying to do. It's just so hate-filled. It's so hate-filled. Is it factual? Yeah. Is it hate-filled because you don't like it? I'm going to guess that that's what Randy's real problem is he just doesn't like the news of Stormy Daniels having an affair with him after Barron was born. Because, once again, they're all in with this guy being the second coming of the evangelical Jesus. And when they have to make excuses for this guy constantly, guess what? It's embarrassing. But it's across the board. I mean, you do realize that there is you could have him on obstruction of justice charges today, basically. I mean, he admitted it. And that doesn't bother you. That doesn't bother you. The same thing that took down Nixon doesn't bother you. Now, Randy, you have to realize that just because I am one of the few non-corporate voices that is out there that is not controlled and not told what to say, that doesn't mean I'm wrong. It just means you don't like it. And tough. Tough. Do me a favor, Randy. Put your money where your mouth is. Go to the caucus tonight and shout down these anti-Islamic jackasses, okay? We're back tomorrow. Mike McIndy is up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.